Hello, and welcome back to Bench to Bedside. I'm your host, Dr. Susan Firth, Executive Vice President and Chief Scientific Officer of the Research Institute. With 2022 being our 100-year anniversary for the first research lab at CHOP, I invited Madeline Bell, President and CEO of Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, to share her thoughts on why pediatric research remains our guiding star. Ms. Bell began her career as a pediatric nurse at CHOP in 1983 and later moved into hospital administration, where she has held several leadership positions. In 2015, she assumed the title of President and CEO. Welcome, Madeline. It's great to see you and have the chance to talk to you today. So research here at CHOP is not behind closed doors, only in the lab. It's really part of the fabric of what we do in order to improve the care that we provide to patients. So when you look around at CHOP and the enterprise more broadly, where do you see the touch points of where research connects to the hospital, to our community, and beyond?
Well, I think those touch points are everywhere. A lot of people in our community see us just as a hospital. And when they see me and they tell me stories, 9 times out of 10, it's about a patient story. But what I think people don't realize is that we have this incredibly world-renowned research institute. It touches every part of Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. Primary care is actively engaged in research. All the outpatient specialty care areas, patients that are inpatient. It's integrated completely into everything we do. I hope that we're in a day where every single patient that comes here to any location can feel comfortable and is welcomed as a research participant as well.
I know that you wrote a book about the history of Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. Can you talk to us about what stood out to you about CHOP's early dedication to pediatric research?
It's really so remarkable because I was lost at the College of Physicians Library on Saturdays, spending hours looking at our archives. And what I realized from the very beginning at our founding, discovery and discovering new treatments and cures for children was just integrated into everything that was done here at Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. Line after line in our archives and examples of development of new vaccines and the roots and causes of diseases and new treatments were integrated throughout all of our historical documents. And I was looking at a couple of fun facts. In 1937, it was the very first time that the hospital board actually dedicated money from hospital operations, so money that's made by seeing patient care, to research. And then in 1954, the very first dedicated building to research was built at CHOP. And then that was at 18th and Bainbridge Street. If you look at our archives, The idea of pursuit of discovery, cures and treatments, just built in from the very beginning until present day.
Wrote an article about the making and missing of discoveries, that there's things we just don't see, or sometimes when there are discoveries, it's time from the discovery to the translation and the implementation of that. It can be many years. Can you talk about how CHOP as an institution maintains its dedication to research and how our strategic plan supports the Research Institute along that continuum of science from discovery to translation to patients?
Well, we have several years planned of incredible investments to ensure that we are on the cutting edge of solving problems for children. And that comes in the form of our strategy, in the form of new buildings, new lab space, so that we are positioned to recruit the best and the brightest scientists here, and equipment, data and analytics support, all of the things that really make it possible. I see my job as somebody to remove obstacles and enable our scientists to really realize their dreams. It is one of the most invigorating and exciting parts of my job to see discoveries happen. They don't all translate to the bedside and to a particular treatment, but perhaps they will someday, and maybe not in our lifetime.
You've called research and innovation our North Star, so our guiding principles. And you've brought forth that everyone at CHOP should be an innovative thinker. So why do you want to nurture this passion for discovery and innovation and thinking outside of the box for our workforce.
It's a culture that I can create as the CEO and in my leadership team. People like you can create a culture and an ecosystem where thinking outside of the box, creativity, pursuit of answers becomes the way we do our work. Whether it's in a traditional lab where a basic scientist is working in something that may not translate directly to the bedside, or whether it's a nurse who comes up with a solution for a patient, not necessarily in a research lab. I think that creativity, thinking outside of the box, makes us who we are. We're always raising the bar on ourselves. I think to do that well, we have to be innovative and creative, and we as leaders have to set a culture that allows that to happen.
It's been a terrific motivator for many people. I want to talk a little bit about your history. I had the great opportunity to be on your podcast and really enjoyed having a little bit of the opportunity to speak about what brought me to this place. So I'm really interested about what took you down the path of healthcare and promoting science and discovery to become CEO.
I wish it was a really good story that led from me wanting to be CEO to becoming CEO, but I always wanted to be a nurse and I really wanted to take care of children. But I had bigger questions for myself, like why do things happen in the healthcare system the way they do? And that led me to work not at the bedside, but at a more macro level in an organization. When I was chief operating officer here at Children's Hospital, I was really focused on what happens in patient care. But along my journey in healthcare, I understood why it was so important for us to be on the leading edge of new breakthroughs and discoveries. That is something that is so exciting and innovative and inspiring to me. I didn't really discover research and what it means to CHOP and to patients and families, not only for the children who come to our hospital, but children around the world and for generations to come, until I started to lift up out of clinical operations. When I became CEO, I had a goal of visiting everyone's lab and learning from them. When I left the labs, the first thing I thought was, how could I help that scientist? How could I make their dreams come true? What could I do here that could allow them to realize the hypothesis, you know, that they have formulated? I understand that not everything hits or wins, or there's a return of investment on everything that we do in the labs, but it is just a very exciting and invigorating space to be in. I find it one of the most rewarding parts of my job as CEO.
It's really wonderful that you visited the labs. You really know the researchers here. In your podcast, you also invite people and speak to them about their work. And I'm sure when you travel, people must ask you about CHOP, either from the folks that you've spoken to here about their work or what people ask you. Are there particular stories that you've found really inspirational?
For me, the most inspirational stories are actually people's career journeys. Even though my podcast is focusing on breakthroughs that happen here and breakthrough moments for scientists, I think the side benefit for me of the podcast and just visiting the labs is understanding how people got interested and chose a career in science. And those stories are really incredible. There's always something behind why somebody decided to dedicate their career to science. When I'm out and about and I'm talking about CHOP, I'm also talking about the people and their journeys and what led them to do what they do here. There are just so many stories. What I love to see is when an investigator here at CHOP is giving me a tour of their lab and telling me about what they're doing and they're trying to achieve, just the animation on their face and the excitement and pride in their lab and the people that work there and what they're trying to achieve gives me new energy and gets me excited to help them to realize their goals.
That excitement is really infectious when you see it and you feel it when you talk to people who are really passionate about what they do. I know you are very passionate about diversity, whether that's women in science or making sure that our workforce has people from different backgrounds. I'm just wondering what inspired you to always reach a little farther and achieve what you've achieved so you can have such impact on child health.
Well, I really would go back to my childhood because my mother always told me that I was born a leader, and my parents would introduce me and say, this is our daughter, Madeline. She's raising us. As the oldest child, I was always a natural leader. It's my comfort space, actually. The idea of being in a situation where I'm not leading gives me anxiety. So I guess I kind of naturally fell into it without a specific plan to do it. So it might be in my DNA. That's how I came to where I am, and my journey is much more serendipity of just taking chances and saying yes to things that were outside of my comfort zone. I do think it's really important as a woman CEO to bring other women forward. And I also pledged to myself, and part of my platform as CEO when I became CEO in 2015 was to create a much more diverse leadership team, one that reflects the patient population we care for and one that reflects our employee population. And 7 years later, one position at a time, I think I have done a much better job at building a team than what I inherited. And that is what I want it to be able to say someday when I pass the baton on to the next CEO, that I have created a much more diverse team that happens to be more strategic and more creative, more invigorating. And now I'm able to say to people, well, diverse teams lead you to be ranked as the number one large employer in the country, not among hospitals or children's hospitals. So there's actually something to it.
That's a huge achievement and well-deserved. One of the great things about CHOP is the talent that we have here and the sense of mission. And people who come here often stay here. And you, I understand, started your career at CHOP as a nurse and then worked elsewhere briefly but came back. So can you tell us a little bit about what inspired you about CHOP then and brought you back and continues to inspire you now?
Well, CHOP was my number one choice as an employer as a new nurse. I turned down other jobs and took a job working permanent nights, which was terrible for a 22-year-old because I just wanted to work here. So that was realizing a dream that I had very early on. Then at one point in my career, I did leave and went to another health system. I worked in new planning and business development and strategy. And it really built my skill set. It was a great learning experience and probably helped me to be where I am today. But I kept thinking about the mission here and the people who are so smart and so committed, and that every person who's chosen to work here has chosen to work with children. Here, everyone puts the patient, the child, and their family at the center. And that is the grounding touchstone for all of us. That's very unifying and invigorating for everybody who works here.
Can you reflect for us what CHOP was like when you came here as a nurse, both as an enterprise and then also with the research institute?
Well, CHOP, when I started in 1983 as a new nurse, was one building and just a couple thousand people. And basically everybody in the cafeteria, sort of like high school, had a table. Finance had a table and security had a table. And so if you needed anybody, you would just know what time they went to lunch. And that's how you would get things done. It was just one building. And it was still a very magical place where wonderful things happened. But it was a different time. The Research Institute was actually on two floors at the top of the hospital. It wasn't a separate building. And so it was evident that it was there, but it was just so limited, two floors of the building, which are now patient floors. So it's been wonderful for me to see over time the evolution of having first one research building and then two, then three, now four. It's just a really exciting evolution to see.
It really has changed so much. And as you look forward to the next 10 or 20 years, what are your hopes and aspirations for the institution and for the research that we do here?
Well, first and foremost, I hope that in the next 5, 10, 20, 25 years, that we continue to define pediatric healthcare for children, and that we discover new cures and treatments that prevent children from coming to this hospital. So putting ourselves out of business would be a wonderful goal. And I know it won't be realized in my lifetime, but I hope that I continue to see real change in the outcomes for children. For example, when I was a nurse, there were children who died of childhood diseases in their teens. I remember taking care of them when they were dying. And now those children are living, based on a lot of the discoveries here, to be adults and have their own families. And so I think about 10, 15, 20 years from now, and I can't even imagine the change in how diseases are detected and treated and hopefully cured.
Thank you so much, Madeline. Thank you for your leadership and your support of research and really pushing us towards that future when we can eliminate childhood suffering and cure diseases that we, you know, currently cannot. And I appreciate your time today. It's been a pleasure to chat with you. Thanks very much.
Well, it was great to talk about one of my favorite subjects. Thank you.
Thanks. Please join me next time for a discussion about our dedication to diversity and inclusion at the Research Institute.